we're fighting new technology up against some of these old style technologies, and that's why they're fighting back with things like car bombs. You know, people don't seem to realize how advanced our weapons technology really is. And all you got to do is go to watch something off of like the History Channel, or I think it's the Military Channel. It has that future weapons show. You know, I watch it because it's mildly entertaining, and it's really scary to see the kind of stuff they got going on. We actually have a caller on the line. Maria, I don't know the area code, but we got Maria on the line, I believe. How you doing today? Caller, or you're live on the air. Hello, caller. Are you there? Hello?
Hello?
Hi, caller. Hello? You're live on the air.
Oh, my name is Sheldon. I'm in Tucson.
Okay. I didn't actually screen the call. I'm sorry. I just read the caller ID. Go ahead.
Okay. To elaborate on what that guy was saying, or I think you were, the History Channel was airing a series on, it's called That's Impossible, and one of them was on directed energy weapons. And I've been trying to get this out to the word out to the public that what happened to the World Trade Center complex on 9/11 was the result of the usage of these directed energy weapons. And there's a former professor in Clemson, South Carolina. Her name is Dr. Judy Wood. She's been on a number of radio shows over the last year trying to get the word out about this, that's what they used. And there was also a hurricane parked off the East Coast that morning. Most people don't know that. And the field effects from this hurricane were somehow used to bring those towers down, believe it or not.
Is this in any way related to the HAARP system?
She doesn't go there, but there were six magnetometer stations in Alaska that morning that registered as each event occurred, like when each tower got an alleged hole in the tower from the airplanes, and as each tower fell, these magnetometer stations did record the Earth's magnetic field being disrupted.
So are we talking about possibly some kind of a plasma weapon then?
I don't know. She just generically calls it a directed energy weapon. Dr. Wood's background is in interferometry, the interference of different energy fields. She doesn't have the serial name of the weapon, the serial number of the weapon and such, because there's so many things out there in the black ops world that we don't even know about, so we can't really pinpoint what it is.
Yeah, these things kind of leak out in the press. Even in the mainstream media, there was a report in Iraq early on where we had equipped a tank with an experimental plasma weapon and just kind of used it in a test scenario against some guerrilla fighters there. And it's just absolutely devastating. It basically vaporizes everything. And this technology...
Well, there's a video you can watch online. I was going to say there's a video you can watch online. It's called Star Wars in Iraq, and it details these bizarre burn marks on people's bodies over there.
Yeah, I mean, these are horrible things, and they're even, at this point, like basically so in the open that there are even private companies that are harnessing this technology. There's a company in Connecticut that has a plasma system that it's using. It's trying to sell it to local municipalities in order to deal with wastewater and elimination of garbage and refuse and stuff like that, to replace incinerators because it's a lot cleaner. And you can basically put anything in there, sewage, garbage, and it just hits it with plasma and vaporizes it, turns it into hydrogen, and then you can harness the hydrogen for energy. So the technology can be weaponized, or it can be used in various civilian applications too.
Well, I agree with you. There is so much stuff out there the public doesn't even know about. We're so far advanced, the stuff that's really out there. And I really believe that's what happened on 9/11. I used to be a big fan of... I used to be married to the idea of thermite in the towers, thanks to Alex Jones, until I came across the work of Dr. Judy Wood, and she has really woken me up.
Hang with us through the break.
Yeah, Sheldon, go ahead and hold on a second.
Yeah, hang with us through the break, and we'll continue when we come back. Thank you for hanging with us through this break. We have a caller on the line that was talking about directed energy weapons, and I'd like to just go right back to them because they were interrupted by the break. Please continue. That was very interesting what you're talking about.
Yeah, I overheard both of you during the break there. I want to let you know there was no thermite used on 9/11. This is being put out by this Stephen Jones character, and he coincidentally used to work at Los Alamos National Labs back in the 80s, and he was instrumental in covering up the work of Pons and Fleischman, if you remember those two. And they had pretty much figured out free energy. Well, Dr. Wood's trying to reveal to the public that this weapon used to bring the towers down is a form of free energy. And the reason they can't rebuild on the site, you know, here it's 8 years after the fact and they're still trying to rebuild the site, is because this is a molecular dissociation weapon. The molecules of the earth continue to break down, so the ground's not stable enough to rebuild on the site. So, you know, I'm just barely touching the surface here, but I would highly encourage you to get Dr. Wood on your show to get in depth about this, because we got burnt, toasted cars, upside down cars. We got bizarre effects seen up to a mile away from the towers, and this all connects to the work of scientists up in Canada by the name of John Hutchinson, who has sort of reverse engineered Tesla's stuff on a small scale. And, I'm just barely touching the surface, but this is really far-out information, and I believe she's right on the money.
And I think that's really interesting, the connection with free energy, too, and definitely that would threaten some pretty powerful entrenched interests, so it kind of begins to paint a larger picture for us as far as what's really going on here. It's interesting you mentioned Pons and Fleischman. If I remember correctly, those scientists were very... into cold fusion technology, is that correct?
Into what?
Cold fusion technology.
Yeah, cold fusion technology, correct. Stephen Jones was instrumental in helping, sort of suppress or divert their work away from the public finding out about it.
Right, and there was a professor, his name escapes me now, but he's one of the leading professors, you know, has won many awards in Japan. And he came out, I think it was a year and a half or 2 years ago, and had actually replicated cold fusion experiments in Japan in front of an entire university audience, and his papers had been peer-reviewed, and it was the first time, really, where mainstream scientific community started to come on board and validate this technology, whereas before there was a lot of attempts to try and undermine it, like what you were saying happened in the 80s with Pond and Fleischman.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's got to be one of the biggest things they got to keep withheld from people is just the energy thing.
Yeah, and as you mentioned, all this stuff basically goes back to Tesla. So that would be the starting point. I mean, that guy was just absolutely unbelievable. So you're talking about 1,100 or 1,200 patents that he came out in his life. And of those patents, we maybe know about 700 of them. So what are the other 400 or 500 of them, because after he passed away, the FBI went in there and basically took all the files. So what we can see is what they want us to see. So what is it that we can't see? So you're talking about all kinds of directives.
Yeah. But,
oh, go ahead,
please. I was going to say these towers did not collapse. They were dustified immediately by this weapon. And what we've seen as smoke was it might not have really been smoke coming off the towers. It might have been the building mass sort of going away in front of our eyes before the buildings disintegrated, because that's what this weapon can do. And what we thought were explosions were Scott packs exploding at ground level in fire trucks. Just because you hear a bomb go off doesn't mean it's thermite. You can put an egg in a microwave and that'll go boom. That doesn't mean there's thermite in the egg. So Judy Wood makes these excellent comparisons as to what might really have happened that day.
I really appreciate you calling in with this information. I mean, I personally had never heard this theory before, but the more you think about it, it begins to make a little bit of sense. If the official
it's
story,
it's definitely more plausible than I believe the thermite story. Definitely, I'm gonna come out and say that.
And you could be dealing with a combination of things here, too. I mean, if you're melting steel and you're melting concrete and stuff like that, that takes an enormous raging kind of energy in order to do that, and there's no way jet fuel can melt steel. We know that to be the fact, so there had to be something else in there that was at play.
Yeah, the problem with this so-called 9/11 truth movement is it's a controlled truth movement, and the best way to control the opposition is to control it yourselves. And they've appointed minions like Alex Jones and all these others to get us on a certain path to keep us confused, so we won't find out about the free energy technology that was used that day.
Absolutely, and I think it's important also to, you know, and I'm sure, you know, the folks that host this show agree, we're all nonviolent. We're not proponents of using violence or initiating force. We all believe that the changes that we would like to see happen can all be achieved through popular pressure and can be done peacefully. And I get very skeptical when leaders in the truth movement or patriot leaders start talking about violence, because that immediately seems like some kind of a provocateurship or COINTEL or something like along those lines.
Yeah, former talk show host Bill Cooper warned us that the word revolution, which some of these talk show hosts sometimes might use, is a code word that the communists use. That's what they want, is a revolution, so we got to be careful there.
I guess it depends on what kind of revolution you mean. I use it myself, and I'm not a communist. I guess it just depends what you mean by revolution. When I say revolution, I'm talking about a revolution of ideas. I'm not talking about a violent revolution. So I guess if I need to point that out, that might be important, you know, just to point out that I'm not talking about let's kill people.
Right.
I'm talking about a revolution of ideas and fundamental paradigm of the human relation. That's basically what
I like to call it a revolution. Yeah, I like to call it a revolution in consciousness. That's correct.
So, anything else? Anything else today, caller? Would you like to bring up anything else, or
the first time I've ever listened to your show, I decided to subscribe as 1 month to Oracle here because a radio X interviewed Dr. Carly, and I wanted to grab that episode. Are you both the host of this show?
Yeah, myself and Rob are, and we've got a couple other guys on here today that are part of our media organization. This is just one arm of this show is just one arm of it. But thanks for listening and checking us out today. And Jimmy X is a great radio host. If you guys can check his show out. Over on Sunday mornings, I believe it's 11 Central Time. Great show, great guy. I've done some Oracle Unleashed with him a couple times. Definitely enjoy having him on the network. Thanks for calling, caller. Definitely please listen again. That was Sheldon from Tucson, Arizona. I'd like to thank him for calling. We're coming up on a break in about a minute. I don't know, Rob. That's some interesting theory. I don't know what you other guys think, but I think that's a pretty interesting theory.
Well, these weapons definitely exist, so I mean I can say that for certainty. Beyond that, I don't know.
I have never heard of this theory before, but you know, like Rob said, this is very intriguing. I think we'd be counterproductive if we just stuck with the theories that seem plausible to us and not investigate ones that we may be ignorant to or not exposed to. So like I said, this is definitely something that I'm going to look into, and that I would suggest that all of our listeners as well look into, just to get the whole gist of it.
Mm-hmm. All right, when we come back, we're going to go ahead and talk some other crazy news. Call in live 866-841-1065. You're listening to Atlas Radio right here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network. Welcome back to Atlas Radio right here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network. It is September the 26th, 2009, and it is 12:33 in the p.m. on the East Coast. We got Rob Panico with us today, as always, and we also have Curtis Williams and Josh Cavelli, two of the new members of the AMMO team. Before the break, we were talking with what was that guy's name?
Sheldon.
Sheldon, thank you. Sheldon, about the energy weapons. And you guys wanted to talk about something else, so go ahead and lead in with that. I got something I got to deal with right now.
Okay, Sheldon, you're on. You still with us?
No, Sheldon's not with us. You guys were wanting to talk about something else. I'm sorry. He was just trying to get our email address. Go ahead.
Okay. During the break, I got the name of the Japanese scientist I had mentioned in the last segment, and that was Yoshiaki Arata of the University of Osaka. And I put a link to an article in the chat. And if you just Google him and Google cold fusion, then you'll find mountains of information about that topic. I think something that's interesting is if you look at the way that the U.S. patent system works right now, what it basically does is it protects an invention from being commercialized by somebody other than the person who patented it. To do that, the trade-off is that all of the technical specifications for how the technology works are fully documented in the patent. So if we end up with a technology that could have the potential to provide free energy for everybody, and that technology is patented, then that just simply means that nobody can start up a business and make a profit off of selling a device that uses that exact technology. However, any member of the public that wants to can research all of these patents, and if they have the engineering knowledge, especially if that engineering knowledge is something that's more simplistic and you could kind of recreate some of this stuff yourself at home, then there's nothing really stopping us from going ahead and actually doing our own experimentation. And I think that that's where the breakthrough is really going to happen. I think that you have to have a lot of people that begin playing around in their garages, and they're not necessarily seeking to commercialize the technology and make money off of it, but use it solely for their own use. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's totally legal. So if you have a large number of people that go ahead and do something like that, then there would really be no way to shut it down. And then, you know, you could hold classes and workshops. You could invite over all your neighbors to see what you're doing in your garage or your barn. And pretty quickly that kind of technology would spread. So it's only the really sophisticated stuff where you need a doctorate degree that's really throwing up a barrier to people being able to do some of this themselves. And there are things out there like plasma electrolysis, where you can separate hydrogen from water in a way that's super efficient, where you can end up with way more hydrogen and energy production than if you just use like simple electrolysis, for example. And all of these technologies are out there. They're documented. They're things that you can learn about on the internet, and they're also things that you can research in the patents themselves. And a good place to start, like when we were talking with Sheldon, he pointed back to Nikola Tesla. You can start with Tesla's patents, and then from there you can kind of work forward, and you can see all of the patents that have kind of come that are based on Tesla's patents, because in all of the patent documentation, one of the key things is it lists the previous patents that the new patent is based on. So you can see advances in all of these technologies, and you can follow things forward and trace the roots of various things back to Tesla. I think that's kind of interesting. Anybody want to comment on that at all?
Well, unfortunately, I don't have, that's not really an area of expertise or a lot of research that I, you know, have done in that area. I am really, that's why I've stayed a little quiet, man. I am trying to take all this in because a lot of this information, I am familiar with Tesla, the HARP, but a lot of this information is really new to me, and I got a little bit of catching up. So, Josh, I don't know if you have any info or anything on that being military. So,
yeah, I don't. Just like you, I have a lot of things that I have to catch up on as well. This, especially with the last caller and what he had to say, there's a lot of things that I definitely need to do the research on, and for future shows, we'll definitely be more prepared on that sort of topic.
Well, we're very interested for sure in making a connection with that caller, Sheldon, from Tucson, I believe it was, or Tulsa. He's got our contact information, and he mentioned that Dr. Judy Woods, and we'll totally try and get her on. I think it would be an incredible coup if we could extend an invitation to Dr. Arata, and if he would actually come on the show and talk briefly about cold fusion and some of these new forms of energy, some of which are being used in civilian applications, some of which are being played around with in people's garages and barns, and some of which are obviously being militarized to pretty deadly effect. And it's my fear that when the next major war breaks out, and I say when and not if, because things are kind of looking like that now, sadly, not something that I at all wish for, but, you know, being knowledgeable in history, you can kind of see the writing on the wall. Our conventional weapons are more than adequate to deal with all these backward third world countries, but if we end up in an altercation with somebody like China, then you'll start to see all of these things come out. And an interesting example is if you go back to the Second World War and how both the Italian fascists and also the new kind of emerging Nazi movement in Germany were able to take their new weapons technologies and test them out in the Spanish Civil War. They sent troops, advisors, and all kinds of technology to Franco in Spain and allied with the fascist faction there. And that's the first place where you saw the Stützkampf bombers, you know, the Stukas and all of the other kind of weapons. It was a foreshadowing of what was going to happen a few years later when the war kicked off with the invasion of Poland. So I kind of see any kind of a conflict with Iran as being very deadly, because that could potentially be the flashpoint that ignites something much larger, and we could find ourselves in a global war again.